Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Heart Health, The Truth About Weight Management. My name is Rochelle Rice, and we're here tonight speaking on three topics that I feel very passionate about when it comes to heart health. We'll be talking about aerobic activity, heart health food, and also the spiritual component of health, of a healthy heart. To begin this evening, make sure you find a quiet place without any distractions. Try if you can to turn off your TV, your cell phones, your computers. If you can use a headset, that would be terrific. And if there's a candle that you can light, even more. If you have water available, that would be good as well to continue to hydrate during the call and to also let others know that you will be on this line for about 40 to 45 minutes. Okay, so we've decided to move through the weather report today and go right to the grounding and cleansing so that we can get all the information in this evening. So if you can, sit with your feet flat on the floor and rest your palms on your thighs. For those of you that prefer to do this in a laying down position, that's fine. The same principles will apply. So in the position that you're in, feel the weight of your pelvis drop down into the seat of the chair. And let that energy travel down through your thighs, shins and calves, and down through the soles of your feet into the earth. Next, feel the weight of your shoulders and let that energy travel down through your arms, the palms of your hands, down through your thighs, shins and calves, and down through the soles of your feet into the earth. And lastly, feel the weight of your head as it rests on your spine. And let that energy travel down through your shoulders, down through your arms, into the palms of your hands, through your thighs, shins and calves, and down through the soles of your feet into the earth. Now, easy on your own time, try to take 5 breaths in and out as you cleanse. So easy in through the nose if you can, and out through the mouth, or any way that feels comfortable for you to do an inhale and an exhale. See if you can allow your abdominal wall to rise with the inhale and soften on the exhale. Good. So continue with that easy breath as you can settle in or continue to settle in molecule by molecule, allowing yourself to fully arrive to this call, recognizing and honoring the fact that you took this time for yourself and that you have chosen health for yourself in this moment. Notice during the call at times if you drift away, just to observe that you've drifted away, and then to gently invite yourself back to be with your body and with your heart. So this evening's conference, I'd like to focus on 3 different parts of heart health that I think really offer a lot of truth about overall weight management. Those 3 components would be aerobic activity, heart healthy food and what I call the spiritual component, or what nourishment does your heart receive. So let's begin with the aerobic activity. For some of you, this may not be new information, but I wanted to review some of it to sort of bring it back to the forefront. And before we begin, I wanted to just bring to your awareness that in researching and looking at some of this information, I was amazed to see that the Center for Disease Control in 2006, the number of deaths reported in women were 350,000 for heart disease. And in breast cancer, it was only 41,000. Now, there are many reasons why breast cancer is doing so much better. But what was amazing to me was the huge difference between the two, and that heart disease is still the number one killer of women. And as a matter of fact, it's one in four women die from heart disease. So it brings us to the aerobic activity and what actually is aerobic activity. What should your aerobic activity level be like? And what does the aerobic activity actually help you with? So first of all, as I said, some of you may know this information already, but I thought it was good to review so that you'd have it again at the forefront. Aerobic activity generally means a sustained amount of activity working within 60 to 80% of your maximal heart rate range. So it's called the Carvonin formula, and if you have a pen or paper nearby, you can do this for yourself. It's 220 is the number, which they basically say is the beats per minute of a child when it's born. So you take 220 and you subtract your age. So, let's say, for an example, we'll use 220 minus 50 for a 50-year-old woman. And the number we come out with is 170. So whatever number you come with is what's called your age-predicted maximal heart rate, age-predicted maximal HR. If you take that number and multiply whatever that number is for you, if you multiply it by 60%, that is your beats per minute at the lower intensity at a 60%. So for the 50-year-old woman, that number is 170 times 60% is 102 beats per minute. That's at 60%. That's the low range. So that means, let's just say if you're doing a walking program, you want to try to be walking at a pace, if that's possible for you, where you're getting 102 beats per minute. Now, on the high range, we can talk at 80%. And for the 50-year-old, so it's 170. We go back to that age-predicted maximal heart rate range. Multiply that by 80%. And for the 50-year-old woman, that's 136 beats per minute. So if you're doing this on paper and doing the math for yourself, what you should be showing now is a range, a lower number and a higher number. And your goal during aerobic activity is to stay in that range. Obviously, the more conditioned you are, the higher you can move towards the 80% or the higher number. Someone just starting a program is trying to stay right around that 60%. Now, the thing is, too, about aerobic activity is you want to get in there and stay there. What happens a lot of times is people will start their aerobic activity and almost sort of get out there and use all of their energy up because they worked at such a high intensity that it cannot be sustained. The energy cannot be sustained. So we use what's called the talk test, that you want to be able to sustain this activity and be able to carry on a conversation or a light conversation. If you're gasping for breath, you're working a little too hard. And on the other end, if it feels too easy, then sure, you are working a little too easy. So the reason that this aerobic activity is so good for us is that we forget that the heart itself is a muscle that needs to be worked just like the biceps or just like stretching a hamstring in a yoga exercise. So when the aerobic activity is happening, we're pumping the blood through the body a little bit harder, a little bit faster, and therefore the heart needs to work harder in order to get stronger. When there's too much cholesterol or triglycerides in the body, this is all the, for a non-medical term, all the junk that gets stuck in the arteries, such that the arteries become hard and narrow, and blood has a hard time getting to the heart. So the aerobic activity, we need to keep it in the front of our minds that the aerobic activity is really thrusting blood through the heart to sort of flush the heart and get it a little bit stronger. And I think too often there's that disconnect from the actual heart doing the work or what's actually happening within the physical body, such that we forget, oh, this is why this is happening and this is why I need to do this. So I got excited about this thinking, oh, if there's this real connection as you're running for the bus, that there's more blood pumping through the heart, or you're climbing a set of stairs in your home or something, that this is what's happening, I'm really pumping my heart a little bit more. There's a deeper connection to what's possible in terms of heart health and not just hoping for the best. The second part I'd like to go on is about food. And as you know, I'm not a nutritionist. What I wanted to do, some of the information I looked at on WebMD, there were four examples of what I would call heart-healthy food. One of them is blueberries, which I'm sure you've heard so much about, and the antioxidants in blueberries. The next was salmon, and it's that it's a wonderful source of protein and the heart-healthy omega-3 fatty acids. A third one that I enjoy is oatmeal. Oatmeal is high, obviously, in oats and can reduce the risk of heart disease. Oats can also lower cholesterol levels. And the last one is spinach, but I'd even like to jump that up to the collard and kale, the dark green leafy vegetables that are known for their phytochemicals, vitamins, and minerals that protect against heart disease. So the reason I wanted to bring up these four in particular was that I think as women, we do on some level know what is good food and what's not good food, or what nourishes us more than others. But what's interesting, again, is as that food is going into the body, what is the direct relationship to the heart? And that, to me, seems to be where the gap is. It's sort of like, we know it's good food over there, but the minute it hits the body, what happens? So with the blueberries and antioxidants, I'm sure you've seen and read a lot about it, as I said, but just knowing what's going on and what's coming into your system with more awareness, or as I said to a client today, say hello to your food. Just say hello with this deep awareness of, okay, this is what's happening as I take these blueberries in. This is what's coming into my body. The same with the salmon, and it's a protein source, but the omega-3 fatty acids, and I'm sure you've heard a lot about those as well. Making that conscious awareness as the food comes into the body, just slowing down enough to say hello to that food and make a direct link to your heart, I feel increases it like a thousandfold of the effectiveness of these things that are coming into your body. With oatmeal, I know many of you are carb conscious and concerned about eating this, but as I believe everything in moderation, the oatmeal with its ability to reduce the risk of heart disease and lower cholesterol levels, again, it's almost like as you're spooning that oatmeal into you, saying, oh, this is what this does for my body. This will help lower my cholesterol. And the same with the spinach or the dark green leafy vegetables. We all know that we're supposed to eat our vegetables, and I think most of us know that the darker, greener, the better. But to understand, again, that there's a huge amount of nutrition packed into this food that's coming in that is directly related to heart health. So what was important to me in discussing this piece or talking about this piece this evening was to really connect, and as I've said a couple of times already, say hello to your food as it's coming in. Just say hello and make that connection to the heart health with regards in particular to these four food choices. And for more information on that, I invite you to look at WebMD and looking at heart health as well. The third component I'd like to talk about in terms of heart health and weight management is the spiritual or energetic state of your heart. I often ask women, what nourishes you? What actually nourishes you? And I'm not referring to food. What, if you could take a moment and say, what nourishes your heart? Who or what in your world right now nourishes your heart? And for some people, or I should say, let me say it about women, we have this, okay, I'll speak for me, this wonderful idea that the one person or the one relationship is going to take care of everything, nourish my heart, nourish my soul, and I'll live happily ever after, and with a white picket fence for me. But there's so many other things in our lives that can nourish us, and it's a matter of identifying those as heart nourishment, as heart healthy nourishment for you. So again, if you have a piece of paper in front of you or whatever, just see if you can take a moment to write down those things that actually nourish you and your heart. Is it being with a good friend? Is it being with your dog or your cat? Is it a sunset? Is it a yoga class? What are the things that actually you feel on an energetic level nourish your heart? Now, continue with that if you'd like, but I also wanted to talk a little bit about your heart being the fourth chakra in the body. And for those of you that are into color, the heart chakra is also green. The heart is also about the ability to give and receive and the ability to feel the range of emotions. It's the ability to give and take. It's about trust and commitments. It's the ability to express love, hate, sympathy, trust, joy, and even the fear of being hurt. So this energy center is responsible for a lot, and it affects our heart directly as well as lungs and breasts. I think as women, it's very easy for us to give, but it's very difficult to receive. But in order for that, to me, to maximize heart health, there has to be this equal exchange of giving and receiving, or a balance of the nourishment. And too often we're busy giving and giving and giving till there's nothing left, and maybe sometimes sit and wonder what happened. So the two pieces to this are what nourishes you, and then to have a sense of your level today or in this moment of not only giving but the ability to receive as well. Remember, others take joy in giving as much as you do. So to be able to receive, I think, is a huge strength as well. So we have the aerobic activity, working in that 60 to 80% range. We talked about the heart-healthy food, the blueberries, the salmon, the oatmeal, and the spinach. And we talked about the spiritual component of the heart, the nourishment that the heart needs, and the heart's ability to give and receive, as well as express different emotions. So when we get to truth about these three components, the real truth about the aerobic activity is this is something that needs to happen, I would say, a minimum of 3 times per week. Getting your heart rate up into a range that's within this 60 to 80%. Now, the news is that this no longer has to be over a sustained period of time. So if you run, meaning you can break up the 30 minutes. So if you ran for the bus today, climbed a set of stairs, and went to yoga. No, I'm not going to use yoga, sorry. And went to some type of a dance class. If you add all those minutes up and just be mindful that this, you got some aerobic activity, you elevated your heart rate. Okay, you may need to be creative outside of going to, quote, the gym and doing the treadmill. You need to be creative. But with the mindfulness of just getting the heart going into an elevated rate, you will be, I do believe you can hit this goal of getting an elevated heart rate for 30 minutes. It is a challenge. There's no doubt about it, especially if in outside of an urban area where there's a lot of driving that occurs. It is a challenge to get this to go. But having that awareness, just keeping that awareness, you try to get the heart rate up, try to get the heart rate up. When it comes to the food and the truth about that, as we talked about, it's just having the awareness, I think, that brings truth to it. It's as if there's no more negotiating. I'll just have this tonight. You know, okay, that's fine. But there's no negotiating with your heart in terms of the fat content, let's say, of the food or the actual lack of, I'm sorry, I got a little stuck on the, for me it was about Ben and Jerry. I always come back to Ben and Jerry. So I can't negotiate with Ben and Jerry anymore. It's either I'm going to eat it or not and know exactly what I'm doing. And I think as women we've become great negotiators when it comes to the food. The pint, the half pint, the whole pint. So the truth for me around the food and the heart health is there is no negotiating anymore. You either do it or you don't, and that's where you are, as opposed to trying to talk your way through and around and up and down about it, or just say, know where you are and be present to saying hello to that food. And lastly, when it comes to the truth about the spiritual health of the heart, I do feel that when we nourish the heart in a way that does not involve food, that involves more good energy around you, good people around you, good books around you, good scenery around you, a peaceful home. I think this particular, although I don't know how much scientific evidence is around, but this in particular nourishes you more than anything. And I think as women, it's very overlooked. The heart needs to be full. And I see when we come into yoga class sometimes how constricted we all are after being through a tough day at work or through the city or whatever. So the stress kind of constricts the heart and all. But with this truth about nourishing the heart through good energy around you, I do think it's just completely underestimated it, what is possible in terms of keeping a healthy heart. And it's not just about the relationship that you're in, but trying to find as many different things around you that can nourish you. So you may only start out with one or two things, but then eventually it will grow to be such an abundance of nourishment around you that's not about the food. And the bottom line is, when one is healthy and happy in the heart, I do believe weight is less of an issue. For me, the inactivity and the overeating and the lack of connection to my heart leads to putting weight on, to being sluggish, obviously, and not taking care of oneself or not paying particular attention to one's overall well-being and weight management. But these three, to me, the aerobic activity, the heart health food, and the spiritual component, with just a slight tweak to each three of those in your life, I believe you'll see a change or a shift or a maintenance at the minimum in your weight management. Now, none of this speaks to what I'll call the psychological side, what you've been through in therapy perhaps, or what your mother did or what your father did or what happened to you when you were a kid. I'm not dipping into any of that when it comes to these things. I'm asking you to sort of pick up and move with this today at whatever is the best level for you, whatever the one small molecule that you can move in each of these three areas. It doesn't take much to throw the body off track, but the good news is it doesn't take a lot to bring it back on track. So if there's one molecule you can move in each of these three areas, the shift will already start to take place. So these are the three components I wanted to share with you this evening on heart health and the truth about weight management. I invite you now to unmute the phone as we open up and take some questions. And the unmute would be the *7 on your phone line. So feel free to unmute with a *7. And if you have a question, please feel free to ask. And all this, if you could, please just say your name so I know with whom I'm speaking, and feel free to ask the question. Anyone?
Michelle, this is Alice. I joined late.
Hi, Alice.
Hi, and I just wanted to, I don't have a question, but I'm someone who's heard some of this information before, and it's great to hear it again. And I just want to say thank you for the affirmation.
You're welcome. Is there anyone who could give me an example of the aerobic activity? Is anyone doing aerobic activity, or is this information a repeat with regards to 60-80%?
Well, I'm doing stairs and walking,
okay,
waiting for the weather to get better for the bike.
Okay, yes, good, good. Anyone else?
Yeah, hi, Michelle. This is Elaine.
Hi, Elaine.
When I exercise, I swim. And I found I couldn't get my heart rate up as high as I'd like.
Mm-hmm. Are you at your 60%, do you know?
No, not indeed.
Okay. And the type of swimming, are you doing laps or are you doing a class? Or?
Well, I do laps.
You do laps, okay. So in the pool, for those of you that are doing pool activity, one of the ways that might help you increase the heart rate, and Elaine, I'm not sure you'd have to try it for yourself, would be even to just hold the side of the pool and do your kicking a little bit bigger. And the kicks would be with the straight legs and not bending at the knees. This is pumping the lower body, which are very large muscles. We've got the glutes, the quadriceps, the hamstrings, And I'm wondering if with some support on the side of the pool, kicking the legs a little bit stronger and harder might help take the heart rate up.
I'll try that. I do have some knee limitations.
Some knee limitations?
Right.
Yes, I do remember, but you don't have a trouble keeping the legs straight, do you?
No, I don't think so.
Right. Try that, Elaine. And just, would you let me know about that one? Because unfortunately, I don't get a lot of time in the pool because of the city.
I will let you know when I get to it. It's pretty cold up here.
Yes, yes.
It is. I haven't been swimming.
It is cold still in Massachusetts.
Hope to return to it shortly.
Okay, terrific. Let me know, please. Thanks.
Okay.
How about the spiritual component? Does anybody want to make a comment on that?
Oh, well, this is Susan. Hi, in Florida.
Hi, Susan.
I have a gopher turtle, which is a protected species in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it has made its home in my front yard. So that's really the light of my life this winter time.
Wow. I can tell you New York, though, this New Yorker is very envious. The gopher turtle, huh?
Right, they're just a small species of turtle. They mm-hmm. live underground.
Mm-hmm.
They build themselves a front porch of, you know, the sand they excavate. So a lot of people don't like them, but since I have a very wild front yard and small also,
mm-hmm.
I'm just thrilled. I don't have to mow.
Oh, fantastic.
I can protect that species.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I have found from getting to know the turtle
mm-hmm.
that the way to communicate with him is to be very, very tranquil, almost in a meditation.
Wow.
And then, you know, like he'll stay out on his front porch. And, you know, so I think it's really good. I think it's helping my fourth chakra enormously.
It sounds it. That's such a wonderful. Have you named him?
Well, I was waiting for him to communicate it, and I believe we've made a breakthrough. I think he told me today his name is Armando.
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 I don't know if the New Yorkers, if we can top that one.
Well, birds, squirrels,
well,
all good wild animal friends.
So it's Armando the gopher turtle is nourishing your fourth chakra.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is
You're
really
welcome.
A great story. All right, my urban women, do you have any thoughts on that one?
Well, I just want to comment on Susan's story. This is Alice from New York, and I think that's a very beautiful story and a perfect example of giving and giving and then receiving. I think that's a beautiful story, and thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks, Alice.
Alice, you bring up a good point, too, in the giving and receiving. How many would anyone care to comment on the challenge of if you find it challenging to receive?
Hi, this is Helen in New York.
Hello,
Helen. Hi, everybody. Rochelle, it was really wonderful. Thank you. It was really a great seminar. But when I think about receiving, I remember when I was in college and I was friends with somebody who lived in town who really had was very, very, very low income. And so when we would go out, you know, I would, you know, she didn't ask, but I would always offer to pay for her hamburger or whatever it was. And I know one time we were in a store, and she said, and she wanted to buy me something, and I said, oh, no. And she, I just remember she said, you know, we all get to have the gift of giving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to remember that. You know, mm-hmm. if somebody gives me a compliment
mm-hmm.
or offers me a seat or something like that, that my accepting it is really a gift for them because it allows them to give something.
Exactly.
You know.
That's a great
And sometimes it gets you a seat on the subway. Too. So, you know, it's a good thing. But really, I try to remember that. I don't always. Sometimes say, oh, no, you know, oh, I need a haircut, rah, rah, rah. But
right.
I know it's true.
Yeah. That's a great example, Helen. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I have one more thing, which is I have something I'd like to throw out.
Sure.
Or should I let you finish?
No, go right ahead.
You know, I am looking for a spiritual home, and it could either be online or offline, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to find a place to worship on Sunday where, you know, whoever the pastor is, whatever denomination, I'm really looking for somebody who does a good sermon, kind of about softening my hard,
mm-hmm.
urban heart. And I wouldn't mind some gospel music, which I find also softens my hard heart. So, you know, the only restriction I have is it would be hard to hear somebody who every Sunday tells me if I don't believe whatever their religion is that I'm damned forever. But
right.
If anybody has a place that they find is spiritually uplifting of any denomination, you know, or any religion, I'm interested in checking it out.
Helen, this is Alice.
Hi, Alice.
Try Marble Collegiate.
Okay.
It's down on Fifth Avenue. Is it Fifth? I'm trying to think. Yeah, it's Fifth, and it's about 28th Street. I have a friend that goes there, and it sounds like the type of thing you're looking for.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Alice.
Hi.
And if anyone thinks of any others, you're welcome to email me, and I'll forward it on to Helen as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Wonderful. You know, that's another good example is the spiritual health in terms of a house of worship, or if that's what... That's a nice example as well, the giving and the receiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Anyone else about the heart and the giving-receiving? I find that's a really powerful one. How many of you give really well?
Oh, that's the easy part.
And then there's dead silence when I ask about receive. No, it's okay.
How many of us give too much?
How many of you give too much?
We all do.
Okay, well, just something to keep in mind, like I said, in terms of the balance and the exchange of the giving and the receiving. Good. Are there any other questions or comments?
Hi, this is Paige. I'm in New York. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. You know, it was so nice to have an official day off today, and it was just such a relaxed state, and also it was just such a beautiful day
mm-hmm.
that I just felt great, and I thought, you know, I need a few more of these.
Yes.
You know, where there's just no electronics and
mm-hmm.
just a gorgeous sunny day and being outside even though it was cold, and that does lift my spirit
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When I access that.
Right. So unplugging, too, is that what you're saying, from technology and all? And
you know, like having a technology-free day, but just the fact that, you know, it was a day off.
Right.
And it was such a nice sunny day. I think coming out of the winter, it was just really fully sun.
Mm-hmm.
It was just nice.
Good. So lots of nourishment.
Yes.
Terrific. Good. Anyone else? A question or comment? Okay. I do want to give you ladies just a couple of, actually one website in particular that I really have enjoyed. It's called, there is the Red Dress Campaign. And what I like, I'm sure you're seeing, that seems to be gaining a little bit more awareness with in New York we see the red dress signage or billboards or whatever, and there's also the red pin, much like the breast cancer pink ribbon, now there's the red dress pin. But there's also Heart, the website is Heart Truth, HEARTTRUTH. .gov. So all one word, hearttruth.gov. And I think when I'm looking at my notes here, I believe that's where I got the information about I was very surprised to see the difference in numbers on breast cancer to heart disease. And like I said, I know there's a number of factors. There's a lot of money that's gone into breast cancer awareness, breast cancer marketing, research, et cetera. But I was 41,000 in breast cancer versus 350,000 in heart disease. And my guess is if you ask most women, they would think breast cancer was number one. That would be my guess. But heart disease is definitely the number one challenge for women. So,
This is Susan in Florida. My mm-hmm. mother actually died finally of heart disease
mm-hmm.
after living with it from the age of 41.
Wow.
Until 87.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she really learned a lot along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, through living, you know, with her and
right.
through that.
Right.
But last year, just about a year ago today, I had an actual incident myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not being called anything, you know, in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
So I need to pay attention, and I'm very glad for you to take this subject tonight. So I've been taking lots of notes.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. I really appreciate it this evening on a wonderful Monday, President's Day. The next one, the next teleconference will be held on Monday, March 16th. And I don't have a subject for it yet. I've been toying with the idea of menopause. But I invite you, if you'd like to email me, if you have something in particular you'd like us to work on, I'd be happy to. But I am playing, there's a lot going on in the world of menopause with regards to bone density, hormones, et cetera. So I would invite some other experts to come on with me to try to at least address some of these issues and concerns. So I thank you all again so much for joining me, and I welcome your comments on email, Rochelle@RochelleRice.com. And this whole teleconference should be available by the end of the week. We'll have it on the website. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much, and be kind to your heart. Love it.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.